Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council meeting this February 10th, 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mayor Prus?
Here. Would everyone please stand for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance?
As we proceed this evening, may we abide by the rules and procedures we have established to promote respect, efficiency, and fairness. May our discussions and actions reflect a sense of service to the community. Let us continually check ourselves to ensure that our efforts are sincere and our intentions are pure. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Ringstead, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Madam Clerk.
Do you have ceremonial matters this evening?
No, I do not.
Moving on to citizens' comments, oral communications to the City Council on any item pertaining to city business that is not up for public hearing. The total comment period is 30 minutes, and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway or must have signed up in advance using the procedures for providing online testimony found at the city website. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
We have Ms. Tammy Wilson. Now, Ms. Wilson, I have to ask a question. Are you speaking to us as an individual or as a member of the Borough Assembly?
I'm not sure about the terminology, but my name is Tammy Wilson. I'm here on my own behalf and no one else.
Okay. You're good to go.
I'm sure I'll get a lecture from the clerk about the terminology later. So, good evening, and thank you for having me here. I don't know if anybody's heard about it, but the EPA had open comments on 18 AAC 50.081. Through a congressional delegation, we were able to extend it 30 more days. So if you were unable to do it or do it as a council, I really encourage you to do it. For those who don't know about it, what it does is that last year on May 10th, 2024, DEC put out some new regulations for the serious sip. Somehow they said nobody commented. We've yet to figure out where they actually told people what was going on, or we might have been involved in a special election at that time. So anyway, now we have these to deal with, and what it does is all residential buildings must have an energy rating completed and turned in before you can put your house up for sale. And then DEC gets a copy of that, as well as any prospective buyers. Currently, we have two people on record that actually have this license. We asked HFC, they do not plan on having any classes this summer, so we don't know what that does. My understanding is it's more than just a class. It has to do with a lot more experience that you also have to have, and this takes effect December 31st of this year. The other part of it is if you have a wood stove of any type, pellet, wood, coal, you then now have to report exactly what kind of stove you have to DEC, which I imagine goes to EPA, and if it's 2 grams per hour, or not certified as an EPA stove, you must also change it out or make it inoperable before you can finish selling your house. So I don't have to tell you that we're a military town, so that's a lot of expense to put on. It's our understanding these energy audits right now cost approximately $1,000, but with two of them, pretty sure it's gonna go a lot higher than that. And to remind you, about 15 years ago, we had these audits done and people were able to use $10,000 to upgrade their homes and do these things. We in the North utilized that money less than anybody else in the state. And one of the reasons was they couldn't come up with the money and the list was so long to get through it. So now we're gonna cause another list to be able to put people through. So they just put it back up for 30 days again. It does have some quirks that they're trying to work out. But Leslie Hajdukovic, who works for Representative Begich, said that if for some reason it won't take your comment, you may send it to her and she'll make sure that it is too. So I would encourage you as a council to weigh in on this and what it could do to our market that's already has a lot of issues to go with it. My understanding is this was not something DEC wanted to do, but to try to get out of the serious sip and unfreeze the transportation, basically they just kept putting ideas out there until the EPA finally said, okay, we'll take that. And quickly on another note, this Thursday, Last Thursday night, we talked about the capital improvement program. It's back up again on February 27th. We'll vote on it. So are there projects that you'd like to do? There was a presentation. You can go and see that right now our mayor is looking at mostly parks and rec. Some of us want to look at schools. So your comments on that before the 27th would be greatly appreciated as well.
Are there any questions? Yes, Ms. Therian.
Could you give us that the first number that you said so we could do that? You said it so fast.
I know. Sorry. 3 minutes. You got to get a lot in.
Yeah.
So it's 18 AAC, which that's administrative code in currently, 50.081.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you put that in, it'll go through the whole process of what currently in regulations.
Thank you.
Mr. Clearworth.
Tammy, thank you for coming. Did you read the guest opinion by Mr. Olds? And I think it was today's paper.
I did not. I was doing that work thing.
Okay. I mean, you kind of summed it up. I mean, is it your opinion that DEC is trying, like you say, everything they can do to pacify EPA and get out of the wrist slapping that they have imposed upon us?
That is my understanding, that they kept putting ideas up and the EPA continued to say no, no, no. So maybe hope is that our current DEC commissioner is now the Region 10 EPA, I think it's manager or whatever they are up there. So hopefully since she went through this whole process and if she seriously didn't want this to happen, she might be able to reverse some of this back.
Ms. Brinkle.
Tammy, is this statewide or just for our area, our borough?
It's only those in the non-attainment area, so it's not even the entire borough. So it will even pit housing market against housing market because of that.
Thank you.
Ms. Wilson, do they put in the in this regulation the definition of a residence?
No, I think it actually just says all residential buildings must have an energy rating completed.
So it could be a cabin without plumbing.
It could be a cabin, it could be a brand new building, it could be a condominium. I mean, if you think of residential, I would say it's anything that you're not basically renting or counted as commercial.
And they use the term agents in real estate. When was the last time we had a real estate agent in the state of Alaska?
You probably know that answer better than I.
2004. We don't have agents. We have licensees. So they put in this regulation something that is non-existent. Yet at the same time, they will use that licensing to be revoked if it does not happen by someone like myself when I'm not an agent.
Well, the whole policing part, because it doesn't just, if you go with an agent of any kind, mm-hmm. even if you sell it yourself, does it not make it so that you don't have to do this? They're just trying to make realtors the bad guy and the police.
As like Van Lawrence did, I'm the enforcement arm. And my license is at stake if anything goes wrong. In your history and review of this, will a energy audit do anything to improve the breathing capacity that comes out of a building on something like this?
Not in itself. I think this is the first step. So when they don't see anything happen, because literally nothing else is tied to it as far as you have to do the suggestions. You know, the only part that it does do is it's a change out part of it. Then they'll be able to utilize that information of trying to make you a certain star, most likely.
Okay. Mr. Marnie.
Are these audits or inspections, is that done by the government or by a private sector?
Oh, I'm sorry, I left that out. So you have to be by anybody who's certified by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation under 15 AAC 155.530. So they are the only entity that that's allowed to give you this certification.
Mr. Marnie, I sit on Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Board of Directors, and this caught them by surprise.
Yeah, so I'm sure they did not have any idea. And I think the reason they did that is because, like I said, about 15 years ago when we had a lot of money, before you could do any of those upgrades, you had to have this type of rating done. And then as you moved up on stars and you got certain things done, then you were given back a certain amount of money based on those upgrades.
Ms. Tidwell, you have a question?
I don't know if it's the same kind of auditor, but a couple of years ago when we bought our house, I was under the impression there was only one person in our area that did that kind of energy auditing. And unless it's changed, it was extremely difficult to get in touch with that person. I don't think that they even lived here year round. So do you have any information on if there's even additional people to do that auditing?
So we went on Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's website, and they had two that were listed. We didn't call them to find out whether they actually do those or they're just certified in it. I believe in the Palmer-Wasilla area, they have six. So I'm thinking they must have some kind of regulation that goes along with it, because there's only one in Anchorage.
They have a lot of building construction.
So there's like nine in the entire state.
Yeah, we never were able to even get an appointment set up with it. I gave up trying, but it was very difficult.
Any other questions for Ms. Wilson? Thank you very much for coming here and reporting this to us, Ms. Wilson. Greatly appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up online?
There is not.
Is there anyone in the gallery who would like to give public testimony? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Madam Clerk.
We are at approval of the agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Ms. Therrien, is there a second? By Ms. Sprinkle? What, you'd like to pull something? What's that, Ms. Therrien?
12B, because there's a substitute.
12B. Okay. Anything else? I'm looking at, hold on a second here. I'll be pulling item 12A. Now, you said 12B?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else? Okay. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Seeing none, the agenda is adopted. Madam Clerk.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of January 27th, 2025. It also advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6309, an ordinance amending the 2025 operating, capital, and Fairbanks Transportation Center budgets for the first time, introduced by Mayor Prues. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6310, an ordinance authorizing the lease of office space in City Hall to the Denali Commission, introduced by Mayor Prues. It accepted the Perm Fund Review Board meeting minutes of October 23rd, 2024, the Chena Riverfront Commission meeting minutes of October 23rd, 2024, and the Clay Street Cemetery Commission meeting minutes of January 28th, 2025. Returning to the general agenda at the top of page two, special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. I'll read the license number and doing business as names into the record. License 3997 BPO Elks Lodge number 1551. License 5887 RNDC Alaska. License 4464 Fred Meyer number 224.
Okay, before we go, I would like to make known that both Ms. Therry and I are members of the Elks, and we do this every year. Does anyone believe we have perceived conflict of interest? Okay. Do I hear a motion to waive protests on these alcohol renewal applications? Do I hear? By Ms. Ringstead, second by Mr. Marney. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on these alcohol renewal applications? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council discussion? Ms. Therrien.
Yes, it's my understanding that we were sending notices to these renewals that they should come and testify. Has that started?
Yes, we've been doing that. I believe the effective was either in December or in January when we began. It doesn't ask them or require them to come or tell them they should come. It just simply notifies them that there will be a public hearing regarding their license.
Okay. All right. Because of the paperwork that, because of the resolutions or ordinances that we adopted, or was that just?
Right. The council put in the code to require that notice from the clerk. Mm-hmm. And the notice is simply just to inform them that there will be a public hearing on their license.
Well, what we try and do now is get it before it goes to the ABC board, so we're in front of it versus behind it. Okay.
Can we add a sentence that says the council would really appreciate you coming to before us to answer any questions, or is that?
I can say the council invites you or something.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, something sure. Like that.
Worded strong, we really want you to come down and say
hello. Yeah. That would be great. Thank you. Yeah, but they're not all.
Well, if you look at what's on the list today, you have Fred Myers. You have the old, not Odom, but the whatchamacallit, a distributor.
Okay, no.
And then you have the Elks.
Yeah. So
it's not a high volatile locations. Any further discussion? Mr. Ringstead.
Just to be clear, I think this third one is a high volatile situation or location, but it's not Fred Meyer's fault, right? I mean, clearly 197 times, if you got people over there every other day.
And they do now have theft staff on site.
Fred Meyer's does?
Yes.
Well, somewhere we've got to start sending the message, this isn't the place to be hanging out. I mean, this is an awful lot of calls and an awful lot of inconvenience for our people. That
it's not because they're applying for an alcohol license.
No, it's got nothing to do with the alcohol license.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Ms. Sprinkle.
We talked once a long time ago about trying to break out the stuff that made a difference to the liquor versus the stuff that doesn't. What is the process? Because this is seven pages of nothing that really can be done to help us.
I keep asking. That's sort of what makes us Fairbanks. There is no two that are the same.
I understand.
So it's best to give you the big bird's eye view of it in case you have questions. That's what you get. And then, again, you're making the sound decision. This 137... whatever is not an issue for the liquor license or the alcohol that they sell. It's just theft at the store.
Well, it sure looks like we have an issue at the store. I would say that.
Most do.
It's crazy.
Ms. The city clerk wants to chime in.
Just that if the council would like, we can add this to the next work session agenda for a council discussion on what you would like to see, what you'd like staff to do or research.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any other discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll to waive protest?
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Therian?
Yes.
Mr. Kleeworth?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk.
Item B of special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following marijuana license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. License number 10112, doing business as Great Alaskan Bud Company. This is the cultivation facility. And also license 10113, Great Alaskan Bud Company, the retail marijuana store.
Do I hear a motion to waive protests on these marijuana license renewal applications by Ms. Therian? Is there a second? By Ms. Sprinkle. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on behalf of these marijuana license renewal applications? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Council, discussion. Ms. Sprinkle.
Listed ideas of, I guess, concern. One is fire, one is law, but there are two different addresses. So is this supposed to be, I'm confused by what those two mean to the Live and Good Avenue address.
I could not hear what you said. You were.
I've got two addresses here underneath that have nothing to do with the Live and Good Avenue address. So I'm confused as to what the correlation is.
I apologize for the confusing information presented. This is a screenshot from whoever provided this report from the Fairbanks Police Department. It looks like that's a window behind the window that is pertinent, so you can disregard that information.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Mr. Ringstad.
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk.
Item C of special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will consider an appeal of a denied application for a new chauffeur license for the following applicant, Peter Olana Bloomstrand.
Okay. Mr. Bloomstrand, are you present? Seeing that you're not. Council, do I hear a motion to grant or deny the appeal to the night chauffeur's license application? You can make a motion to grant or deny. Mr. Clearworth.
I'll be happy to do that. Just a question for the city clerk. He was very much aware of the meeting tonight, right?
That's correct. My staff spoke with him directly. I emailed him directly and gave him instructions on what to expect.
I'd make a motion to deny.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Marnie. Discussion. Ms. Sprinkle.
Does this mean he could be wants to do this again?
For some reason he's like, oh, in a hospital, I can't do this. I don't know enough about what this is going on here.
You know, we don't know why he's not here, but he's been given notice. Period.
Okay. Well, I just didn't know.
We can't interpret.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know.
I would say if there are some extenuating circumstances beyond the individual's control, then we find out about that. I'm sure that that would be relayed to the city clerk's office and we could look at it again, but.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Ringstad.
He was assault in the fourth degree. You know, and I read the police blotters periodically and there's always a string of these. What is a fourth degree assault? I mean, by the time you get down to fourth
that's
degree
what my,
assault.
That's what your brother used to do to you in
yeah,
the bedroom.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, you look at it and we're eating up an awful lot of court time, it appears, on that kind of stuff. But I wonder how big it is. The second page, it says, apparently he signed this, said, I can be present at the council meeting on February 2025. So apparently he knew about it and was, I'm assuming he meant that to say he would be here. But if there's, I think I agree with Jerry, if there are circumstances that why he couldn't make it, then he needs to come and.
If there's an extenuating circumstance, we can put this back on the roll. But until then, we can't interpret.
I don't know enough about what he did or didn't do to, you know, this could be much ado about nothing and a fourth degree assault as far as I'm concerned. Not that I did a lot of that, but.
You did.
You can be quiet.
We've heard stories.
You're not helping.
Is there any other discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on the motion to deny the appeal of the chauffeur's license?
Yep. Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle? Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
The motion to deny the appeal passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk.
We're at Mayor's comments and report.
I would like to thank our police department over the last month, the rash of homicides that have had to be investigated and their professional and their punctuality in bringing a suspect into custody and removing them from the streets of Fairbanks or other locations has been very very greatly received. I want to appreciate that. Also, we're having some issues with our post office, and I've met with people from the state of Alaska postal system and our local postmaster, along with the district attorney, and I'll be putting together some thoughts and maybe policies on that. And that is my report for this evening. Thank you. Madam Clerk.
We're at the first round of council member comments.
Ms. Tidwell, why don't you lead us off?
I don't have anything. I'm good.
Okay, I'll make sure Mr. Marnie doesn't eat all your candy. Mr. Marnie.
Well, I would like to address Ms. Wilson as an assembly lady. Have you decided, have you taken our challenge for the bowling event?
I'm not here representing the assembly. I'd get in trouble, so I don't have to decide. Seeing said,
Lonnie, they're chicken. Mr. Ringstad. Ms. Sprinkle. Ms. Therrien.
Yes, I think with regard to what Ms. Wilson had talked to us about, that maybe our legislative committee could come up with some comments to send, and maybe to our representatives in D.C. as well, and we could do that at the next meeting.
Mr. Clearworth.
Most of my comments, I'm going to wait till later on in the meeting here, but on the subject at hand here, next week at Fast Planning, we'll be meeting with Mr. Olds. He's one of the policy board members representing DEC, and I think we can question him more thoroughly. But when you have a rule and a regulation and it's almost impossible to implement, you've got a problem. And I had former council member Stiver say, you know, the best way to do an energy audit is to take a look at your energy costs for the prior year on the home. I said, that's a great idea. I mean, that's going to tell you if this thing is efficient or not. That's what they're after. Anyway, that's it, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clearworth. Madam Clerk.
We are at unfinished business. The first item there is ordinance number 6304, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Chapter 54, Procurement, Sections 5439 and 54241, to clarify the council notification requirement for sole source purchasing, introduced by Mayor Pruse. This is second reading and public hearing.
Okay. Is there anyone from the gallery, any of the public, wanting to speak on behalf of this ordinance? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Motion to approve by Ms. Therrien, a second. By Ms. Sprinkle, yes. Okay, go ahead.
We vote on the ordinance 6304 as amended. The proposed substitute as a, can't remember the word. A substitute, thank you so much.
Is there any objection to the substitution? Seeing none, it is substituted.
Was there a second? I didn't get it.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Thank you.
Okay, discussion. Mr. Clearworth.
Just one item. I thank the city attorney for clarifying a little bit of this, but under B there it says, unless otherwise provided by law, I assume that includes code. Yes, okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on motion on ordinance 6304 as substituted?
Thank you, Mr. Clearworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to adopt ordinance 6304 as substituted passed by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk.
Next is ordinance 6305, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 70-162 to ensure visible and safe traffic intersections and amending the city schedule of fees and charges for services, introduced by Mayor Pruse. This is second reading and public hearing.
So I hear a motion to adopt motion ordinance number 6305 by Ms. Sprinkle. Is there a second? By Mr. Ringsted. Is there anyone in the public wishing to speak on behalf of this? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. This is that ordinance I would like to have postponed for 6 months so I can do a more jump into this, I believe. This is the visible, safe traffic intersections that we had a very rigorous work session discussion on. Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm happy to postpone, but why 6 months? Is that what you just said?
You know, this, we had so many discussion points on it. And I want to bring it back in the summer. And every time I go down Cushman, Lacey, Noble, Cowles, I see another obstruction. And I say to myself, is that a fence? Is that a building? Is it something that can be taken care of with a street light? And in discussions with the city engineer, there's this many moving parts on this. So, you know, either thought 6 months or before.
Do we have to give a date? Is that what I felt?
Do you want to do date specific? Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Clayworth.
Go ahead and move the postpone until the second meeting of July.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Ms. Brinkle. Is there a discussion, Ms. Therrien?
If we wait till the second meeting in July, then nothing's going to happen this summer. I would suggest that we try to resolve this within the next 3 months. So people that have hedges can get them cut during the summertime. If we don't vote on this until July, nothing's going to happen this year, and there might be more accidents or more problems. So I don't know if Mr. Clearworth would be willing to say within the next 3 months.
Mr. Clayworth, and Mr. Ringsted.
We already have rules on hedges and trees and things like that. You're seeing some changes in here, but the meat of it is still there. And so we have that ability now and have always had the ability to work with property owners on removing those obstacles at intersections.
Mr. Ringsted.
Say 3 months, I would have wait till at least the leaves are out.
What's that, John?
Wait 3 months. I'm thinking June, beginning of June. I mean, you know, after the leaves come out, the visibility changes again. So maybe we do it in the 1st of June and get it done in June, and then you got the rest of the summer that they can deal with it. If that,
well, if you're,
what you're trying to do.
Here's my thoughts about July. No matter what, we're going to have at least a work session on this in May. And then we'll probably have another one in June. Because this is not a one-size-fits-all, one-property-fits-all. So we're not going to wait till the second week of July or the first week of July and bring this up. That's when it's to be concluded. And you have everything in place right now to already encode that we can work with to fix most of what's out there. But do we have grandfather rights under that? That's part of this discussion. So, Ms. Therrien.
I'll move to amend the motion to postpone to have the ordinance be voted on the first meeting in June.
Is there a second? Second by Ms. Sprinkle, discussion.
And then leaves will be out, so that would be after that.
Mr. Clearworth.
I was just going to say we could change the original motion and not go through the whole amendment process, but it's up to you. Either way, it works.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call on the motion to postpone until the first meeting of June?
This would just be the motion to amend the motion to postpone, and that is Ms. Therrien.
Yes.
Mr. Marty.
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Yes.
Mr. Ringsted.
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell.
Yes.
Mr. Clearworth.
Yes.
Okay, the amendment passed. Now back to the main motion to postpone till the first. We'll postpone. Discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
And for the record, if anyone's listening and needs to know, that's June 9th. On that motion, Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Kleewer?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
The motion to postpone ordinance 6305 to June 9th passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk.
Item C of unfinished business is ordinance 6306, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code section 70-161 and the local amendments to the 2018 International Fire Code adopted by reference at Fairbanks General Code section 30-32 and amending the city schedule of fees and charges for services to ensure access to fire hydrants. Introduced by Mayor Prus, this is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance 6306 by Ms. Sprinkle, second by Mr. Ringstead? Is there any citizen wishing to speak on ordinance 6306? If so, please come forward, state your name and residence of record, and you'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. We also have a substitute ordinance here proposed. Do I see a motion to Mr. Clearworth as substitute and second by Ms. Therrien? Okay, is there any objection to the substitution? Seeing none, open for discussion. Mr. Clearworth.
Well, we've wrestled with this one a little bit as to what should be the proper way of notification. The amended version we have in front of us says 7 days. I think we could shorten that a little bit. We just need to know that we have made contact with an individual. If we haven't actually made contact with somebody, then we're going to be doing some work and sending them a bill they're not even aware of, which causes me some consternation. But I'm going to try a few amendments here. Under D, on the second page there, it says 7 days. I would move to change that to 5 working days.
Is there a second on that? Discussion? Seeing, do you want to include all these ordinances at once, Jerry, or do them individually? I mean, all these amendments?
Individually, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Discussion on this? Ms. Sprinkle?
Does that one then correlate with
what we've got down in E?
We're going to get there. Yeah.
That'll be next.
Okay.
Ms. Therrien.
5 working days is 7 days when you count the weekend. Jerry, are you going to say after having received actual notice?
Yeah, I was going to be doing that in item E. Actually, okay. Making contact with the individual. But if you do it on a Monday, they would have to do it by Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
This is on the motion to amend subsection D from 7 days to 5 working days. Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
The amendment passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clayworth.
Thank you, Mayor. The second part would be E down there. It's saying that we have to make contact with the owner or person having control, which is good. At the very end there, I guess I would make a motion to amend. Currently, it says within 24 hours, 7 days. I would move that to be within 5 working days after making contact. Let's just leave it there, after making contact.
Is there a second? By Ms. Therrien. No. I'm sorry, by Ms. Sprinkle. Okay, so, and the amendment is five working days after making contact, removing the 7 days. After having received notice. Okay. Discussion. Ms. Therrien.
I think it would be better to say after making personal contact or actual contact. You know, you can put a sticker on a door and that could be considered contact versus having actual or personal contact. You know, I don't know what the attorney would use for the term, but I think contact isn't enough. Do you have a suggestion?
So throughout our code, there are these kinds of things for notice provisions. Some of them talk about when we send notice. Some of them talk about when the person receives notice. In this particular case, we're focused on when the person receives notice, not when the director or whoever initiates that contact or initiates the notice. Because it says, provided the owner or person have in control, I would suggest that it be within 5 working days after receiving notice. And that, I think, would follow with Councilmember Cleworth's intent.
Ms. Cleworth?
Yeah, Tom, how would we know that they've received notice, though?
I'm always a fan of putting it at the front end of when we send notice. So in this particular case, if we were looking at when they received notice, we would have to have either an employee attest to the fact that they spoke to somebody, or we'd have to have like a certified letter that was signed by the person, some kind of evidence or proof that the person actually received the notice.
For the body cam.
That could work.
You know, this sort of gets complicated in so many ways because, as Jared told us, sometimes there was a mound of snow right in the middle of the street. And we're asking, you know, you're trying to make sure they have notice on this.
Mm-hmm.
And what is notice? Is it from when they receive it, from when we send it, from when they do it? And so there's going to be times where we just have to go out and do something and not worry about notice. Ms. Cleworth.
Maybe I'm wrong, Mayor, but in E, we're talking specifically about the fire hydrants, are we not? And if they push snow into the street,
that's an emergency.
That's against our code right now, and they can be, if we have to go remove that, we can bill them accordingly if we can identify the party that moved it into the street. I think we've always had that right. But I think this is, am I wrong on that, Tom? Is this specifically speaking the fire hydrant deal?
No, that's correct. Subsection E is fire hydrant specific.
Okay, good.
I'm fine with your interpretation, Tom, I'm just wondering, as years go down, making contact, and somebody would interpret that to think it's just a notice on the door.
Like after having received contact?
Yeah. After having received contact. With the concurrence of the second, I would like to change the amendment to read the way that the city attorney just quoted.
Is that me? Yes. I'll say yes.
Okay. Amendment has been amended. Mr. Ringstead. I know.
Yeah.
We didn't go through the formal amendment. Ms. Therrien, sorry.
So for the city attorney, so we're going to change the word notice to contact in both D and E?
I believe the discussion right now is limited to subsection E, and the notes that I have would read that it's within 5 working days after having received contact.
Okay. And you would probably suggest up in D that we use contact instead of notice as well?
Okay.
Well, not really.
You're not contacting from the director, you're getting notice from the director.
I think the construction and subsection D, Councilmember Therrien, is parallel because it says after having received notice in this subsection E, we're talking about after having received contact. I think the difference being that, I think it's somewhat semantics, but I believe that in both those scenarios, somebody has to talk with somebody before it triggers.
I guess as an attorney, I would argue that D and E should both either be notice or contact, either one, but to have one be notice and one be contact, you could argue there's a different process.
As the drafter of legislation, I applaud the consistency and would welcome anything that the council wants to do on that.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Mr. Clayworth.
I would be happy to postpone it if the city attorney thinks it would be wise for us to do that, or we can make it work the way it is right now. But one of the major things I've had on this, if we just have a really heavy snow year where it's not the fault of any property owner that has a fire hydrant on their property or public property, such as the state or the borough or somebody else, if that fire hydrant is buried, and it can quite quickly, and it has been in the past, we could be contacting a lot of people. That's why I asked the question the other day, internally here, if we have problems like that, could we not, proactively with your public works and with the fire department to go out periodically if you have a heavy snow winter and remove some of that too? Are we going to be contacting everybody in town, whether they're public or private, that they need to get out there and clean out that hydrant on our behalf? Just some thoughts.
Mr. Sharp.
Taking Councilmember Therrien's recommendation, I'm not certain if there's a motion, and just for my own clarification, so that subsection E would read, within 5 working days after having received notice, to be parallel to subsection D. If that was the intent, I think there needs to be a motion to that effect.
Ms. Therrien.
I'll make the motion to fix D after we deal with E.
Okay. Ms. Sprinkle.
Right now,
we're going to come back to it.
Contact, and then I'm going to go back to D and change notice to contact.
Okay. Anyone else before we vote on this? Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the amendment.
Mayor, can I get clarification from the maker of the motion whether to strike from the Director of Public Works at the end of that sentence, or are we keeping those 5-6 words?
I have not heard anything of striking the Director of Public Works.
No. Keeping it, okay.
Keeping it.
Thank you. On the motion to amend, Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Clewer?
Yes.
The amendment passed by a vote of 6-0. Ms. Therrien?
I'd like to move to change the word notice in D to have contact. So it would read within 5 working days after having received contact.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Clewer?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad? Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
The amendment passed by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clayworth, do you have anything else on this?
No.
Does anyone else have any other amendments or discussions on Ordinance 6306, the proposed substitute as amended? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll to pass Ordinance 6306 as amended?
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad? Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ordinance 6306 passes by a vote of 6-0 as amended. Madam Clerk?
Item D of unfinished business, Ordinance Number 6307, an ordinance reestablishing the incentive bonus program with the Fairbanks Police Department for recruitment and hiring, introduced by Mayor Pruse. This is second reading and public hearing.
Is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 6307? By Ms. Sprinkle, is there a second? By Mr. Marnie. Is there any citizen here wishing to speak on behalf of this? If so, please come forward, state your name for the record and your address. You'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, discussion is closed. Discussion, City Council. Mr. Marnie.
If it's up to you, if it's all right with you, Mayor, I would like to add my name to this, please.
Certainly. Is there any other council member wanting to add? Ms. Sprinkle? Ms. Therrien? Okay. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 6307.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ordinance 6307 passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
We are at Ordinance Number 6308, an ordinance reestablishing this incentive bonus program with the Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center for recruitment and hiring, introduced by Mayor Pruse. This is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt Ordinance 6308? Ms. Therrien, is there a second? Mr. Ringstad? Is there any citizen wishing to speak on Ordinance 6308? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes and state your name and address for the record. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council discussion. Mr. Marnie.
Please allow me to add my name to this also, please.
Certainly. Is there any other city council member wishing to add their name to this ordinance? Ms. Therrien. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on Ordinance 6308?
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleward?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad? Yes. Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ordinance 6308 passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
We're at new business. The first item there pulled was item A, resolution number 5162, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the FY 2026 Congressionally Directed Spending Appropriations for a medical ambulance bus, introduced by Mayor Pruse.
Do I have a motion to approve, since this is a resolution? Is a second, first by Ms. Sprinkle, second by, is there a second? Mr. Ringstad. Is there a motion to substitute the proposed hand-carried resolution? Should be on your desk. Mr. Ringstead, is there a second? Mr. Marnie. Okay, discussion. Today we got a call from Senator Murkowski's office, and things we got approved from congressional spending in 2024 that were not appropriated, they asked us to redo that. And we had the Fairbanks Fire Department's ambulance bus there. And then we also didn't realize that we did not have the Crisis Stabilization Center. I want everyone to look real closely out there at Brenda. And if I don't get this done, I am dead. So I would hope you all. So we quickly scrambled and did a hand-carried proposed substitute resolution here. That way you know the spending that we're asking for. Any further discussion? Ms. Sprinkle?
Okay, so the renovation for building, do we have one in mind?
What's that?
It says we're renovating a building. Do we have a building in mind?
Yes, we do. Brenda, would you please come up here and talk us about the building that you found?
So there would have to be some things worked out, but what would make sense is for the provider to lease from a Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority-owned building. Those buildings are already designated to be used for mental health beneficiaries for decades. And so we're hoping that Alaska Behavioral Health will be able to lease a trust-owned building. And the trust does that by doing another appraisal of the building, and then they have to take it to their trustees. So that hasn't happened yet. So I don't want to speak too much before it goes to their trustees. But the trust is talking to Alaska Behavioral Health about a building.
So it's a specific building you have in mind. We just aren't talking about the specifics. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Brenda, how long have you been working on this project?
April 2022 is when I started.
And this is the, after 2 years of looking, this is the building, correct?
Yes, and I think Eric mentioned the building. Eric Boyer, sorry, is a trust foundation officer with Alaska Mental Health Trust. He said on the public record, we're looking at that DiNardo building. It's part of the Fahrenkamp kind of property over there on like Moore Street and Pegger Egan corner. That's all trust owned. And that seems to be an ideal building. And he did mention that, I believe, in the December trust meeting that they had with the trustees.
So if we can get this $2.8 million, they'll take it. We do the reno, and then we lease it for some length of time.
It would be the trust leasing it. And so I've talked with Margarita. When we know for sure what what federal committee this money will come out of, we'll see what their stipulations are for the funds. We're not sure yet whether it would come down through HUD or HRSA or what committee it would come out under, but it would be a trust-owned building if we went with the DiNardo Center.
Mr. Ringstead.
So this is a HUD-owned building. They will own it. We will lease it, right?
A trust, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority-owned building.
So is there a reason they're not asking for the money instead of us asking for the money? Does it matter?
I think that to get this going in Fairbanks, we had to ask for the money. and to clarify, it would be the provider leasing it, Alaska Behavioral Health leasing it.
To adopt the building for her use is what it is. Ms. Sprinkle.
Are we going to have to ask or provide a match of any sort?
No. This is a cost-free to Fairbanks. We're asking, though, for the funding. We got a call from Senator Murkowski's office today asking us to do it again. So hence the rapid response. Yeah. Ms. Therrien.
Yeah, at the last legislative committee meeting, we discussed this a little bit, and this is one of our priorities, so I would urge the council to support it.
Mr. Morney.
So is this a 10-year lease? I mean, what's the term limit on this? Do we have it forever, or?
The trust signs really long below market leases with providers, and the building will be stipulated, it has to be used, I think, for 30 years. Okay. I don't know if the lease is 30 years, but it is a significant length of time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor, I didn't catch. Was there any objection to the substitution?
No, there was not.
Thank you. Okay, on the motion to approve the proposed substitute as amended, Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaver?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Resolution 5162 as amended passes by a vote of 6-2-0. Madam Clerk.
The next item pulled is resolution number 5163, a resolution urging the state of Alaska to honor its commitment to cap past and present PERS service costs for municipal employers at 22%, introduced by Mayor Prus and council members Therrien and Ringstad.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve resolution 5163 as adopt, approve? Yeah, this is. By Ms. Therrien, second by Ms. Sprinkle. Okay, discussion. Is there a move to substitute? I've got so many pieces of paper on my desk here. I got some with red now, and it gets entertaining. I apologize for being. Thank you. Is there a second to that? By Ms. Therrien? Okay, is there anyone who's opposed to that? Seeing none, we'll put the substitute in place. Okay, discussion. Ms. Therrien?
Yes, at our legislative committee meeting, our lobbyists provided this information to us. I thought it was really important that we try to get a jump on this right away. And although it may be that the sponsor of this bill is going to be using for leverage to deal with defined benefits, I still think it's important that we let them know that we don't want to have to pay more than 22%. And Yuri was able to review it after our meeting, and this red language is his changes. And so I would concur with them, and I hope that we support this. And I think maybe everybody should sponsor it. But.
Mr. Ringstad.
Have paid over, you put in over and delete a dollar amount. So it would read, have paid over $1 billion toward the unfunded liability.
Grammatically, that doesn't sound right.
I thought it says $2 billion, doesn't it?
I think it's supposed to say 7.72, yeah.
7.72 or it's supposed to say 2 billion?
7.72 is 2? Oh.
I just want to make sure. Sorry, the change. The change that Yuri made was we originally had the exact same language that we have on our legislative priority. Yuri changed it to non-state PERS, and rather than it saying 7.7 billion, it now says 2 billion.
7.7 is all PERS.
Yes.
And the non-state ones is the 2, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay.
Okay. Thank
just
you.
So we know what we're writing
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Mr. Marnie?
I agree with Ms. Therrien. I'll put my name on this, please. Thank you.
Yeah. I
okay,
too.
We'll add Ms. Therrien's, Mr. Marnie's name to it. Ms. Tidwell, you have your hand up.
I just wondered if somebody could read off what the proposed substitute is, because I don't have that.
You want me to do that?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Therrien.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. On the fourth, whereas the state legislature passed SB 125 in 2008 to address the unfunded liability, which modified AS 39.35.255 to establish, then we added a language, struck in, and put in a flat maximum struck employer rate of 22%, struck 4 on all defined benefit and defined contribution salaries paid by, and that was all new, and then PERS non-state employers. That's the first change. Then the next one was the next paragraph, whereas the language is new, in an effort to work with the state in a shared solution that brings Alaskans together, that's the new language. And then in the next, whereas, in front of PERS employees, we would put in non-hyphen state, change 7.72 to read 2 billion and put in over 2 billion. The next whereas would just strike that, and it would read, the recently introduced SB 81 could potentially increase, and we added in the word municipal. And then the next whereas, an increase to the contribution rate will have significant, and we added adverse impacts, struck off and put on. So adverse impacts on municipalities. I think that's all his changes.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Therrien. Any other questions on that, Ms. Tidwell?
No, I'd like to be added to sponsoring it as well.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would add, like Ms. Sprinkle, we'll add you. Mr. Cleworth, you have a question or a thought?
No, you can add my name too. Okay. I make it unanimous here. But some thoughts on this. There's some very interesting politics, I think, going on here behind the scenes. Senator Stedman was the main reason that the DB program was held up last year and did not get implemented. He is one of the sharpest senators you have on the ramifications of what the new Senate Bill 88 could mean to the state of Alaska. And I think what he's probably trying to do here is get a message out to the legislators as a whole that if they do pass Senate Bill 88, then if there is a liability to be incurred, you want to have the ability to raise that rate on all the municipalities that are a part of it. And I assume that he's thinking that they will not support it, which is good in our interest, but I think, unfortunately, the legislators are going to probably miss the bigger picture here. Back in May of 2023, the legislature was given an overview by Buck, their actuary, as to their potential feelings as to whether the new DB program could be self-funded or go into the red. They heard from their actuary that it most likely would go into the red, somewhere to the tune of $40 to $80 million. Now, if the legislators in Juneau think that that's an acceptable risk on their part, you know, we can't stop them from doing that. But I think they need to know that everyone that has looked at this with the current language in the DB program, I just wish they would change some of those things as we've talked about before. The discount rate's got to be changed. The overtime's got to be eliminated and indemnify municipalities from increases. That's, you know, not totally spelled out in here, but I think they get the idea. I find it rather interesting. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk. Ms. Therrien.
When we were talking about this in the legislative committee, and maybe Mike might remind me if I forget something, but that this was maybe something to be used and leverage, that the legislature is trying to do something about defined benefits, and that it's interesting to see that it's coming up now, and it may never pass, but it's important to us to make sure that our liability doesn't increase. Do I have that right, Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the substitute resolution 5163.
And this is to pass that resolution. Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Resolution 5163 as substituted passed by a vote of 6-2-0. Madam Clerk.
We're at committee reports and council member comments.
Ms. Tidwell, we'll start with you.
I can't remember if I reported on the work session or if it was after. So I apologize if I already told you, but the Economic Development Committee did meet. We heard the presentation on the Ardor discussion from JOMO. I think the conversation around that was really positive. It sounds like we're going to.
Okay.
But hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Oh, sorry. But it sounded really positive, and I think we'll be moving a support letter forward at some point.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Barney?
Well, really nothing. I would like to inform the council that I will not be here next Tuesday for the work session. I'll be in Cincinnati with celebrating three birthdays. So if I have time, I'll zoom in. If not, you'll know why I'm not there.
Does it involve a trip to Disneyland like Mr. Ringstead did? Mr. Ringstead. Ms. Sprinkle.
I would just say that I will be meeting or having a meeting with JOMO at the Downtown Association board meeting. So he's going to be making a presentation to our board regarding the Ardor. So he's doing his homework. He's talking to all the groups. So thank you. That's up.
Ms. Therrien.
Yes, we had a legislative committee meeting, and Yuri was hoping that our chief would look at all of the legislation dealing with police issues and get back to us by the next meeting, which I think is in about 2 weeks. And also that Brenda would look at any of the legislation dealing with her issues and to get back to us. And I think the mayor's going down to Juneau very soon. And Yuri wanted to know your schedule. I hope Mike's got that all straightened up by now. And I was just thinking on this resolution, whether or not, besides the interior delegation, that we might want to send it to Stedman's office or not. I don't know what the council, what? Yeah, maybe we can send it to everybody, even though it only says the local legislation. I think that might be helpful.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay, and I was going to plan on going down sometime in March whenever I'm needed. Okay. And I think we have a meeting. John, you can be able to make the next one. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Mr. Clearworth.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple things here. Just on the back burner, there's been some items we've talked about, and I just don't want to let them drop off. One is we talked about resolutions versus ordinances as far as appropriations of money, and I don't want to let that one drop, and I know that'll take work on city attorney's part and possibly the clerk's part too on that, but I'd like to see something on that sometime. No time frame, but two, during the budget presentation, we had the building department made a pitch that is something we've talked about for decades, and that's one-stop shopping for people with new buildings. Right now, you need to stop in there, and then you also need to go to the fire department and get a plans check over there, too. He made the pitch for doing it all internally in the building department, and I just want to say I totally support that. I don't know what the administration is doing regarding that, but I would not like to see that drop either. If it's possible to do that with the limitations of our contracts, then it just makes sense. We're here to serve people and make their lives easier and make our life easier too. So, and then three, a thank you to the fire chief also, you know, in our research of mutual aid agreements and looking how the borough deals with their own service area fire departments and looking at any language that they had, I was real curious to see what they have. What the requirements they and stipulations they put upon their own service area providers. And he's working on that. And I appreciate that. I mean, eventually I would like to see us with some kind of a form of mutual aid agreement or ordinance that says this is, you know, for ambulance companies like we have, you know, invited to apply now, how they could become a mutual aid partner and what the requirements would be for that. That is just a win-win for our community. The more providers for emergency services, the better. So, again, that's just something I don't want to see drop or go away. And finally, for Public Works on Cushman Street in front of the old MBA building, the bingo hall right now, we have one of our candlesticks, which has been totally vandalized. And if we could get that plastic top part fixed, it would be nice. I don't know how they got up there and damaged it, but they did. So that is it.
Okay. Mayor?
Yes, Ms. Therrien.
I forgot to say something, too. I did send everybody a report on what happened at AML, and I didn't know if anybody had any questions. And one of the things that I would really like to work on is to have some coordination with our Native community and our Native leaders on maybe legislation and asking for funding for various things. And I don't know if you had a chance to read my report, but it does work in other communities and it might help fill some holes we have for funding. And so something to think about for the near future.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one other item. I will be traveling and I'll be out of state on March 10th. Is there any issues with changing our March 10th City Council meeting to the following Monday, March 17th, giving us our meetings on March 17th and March 24th, or we can go March 17th and March 31st in March. Ms. Sprinkle?
I will not be able to make a March 17th deadline. I think I'm traveling in the actual air. So.
Well, then we'll keep our, if I'm not going to interrupt your aspect here. And I'll travel and get Mr. Cleworth to operate the meeting since he is the elder statesman and a past mayor to boot.
I mean, he's really old.
I thought he was saying one.
Madam Clerk.
Okay, for the clerk report, I will be on personal leave for the February 24th meeting. That's the next regular meeting, so Deputy Clerk Chase will be here to help out. And I just had a question for the council on when you would like to bring back ordinances 6283 and 6285 for work sessions. I don't know how much time the council needs in work sessions to get through those, but that's the vacant buildings ordinance and the tax rebate for new construction.
Can we get back to you on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now, 6283 is coming back May 19th. 6285 is coming back May 12th. So I just... sometime in the future, what direction on when to bring that back for work session. Does the city attorney have anything to report?
Nothing to report this evening. Thank you, everybody, for your contribution.
Okay. Mr. Clearworth, you want to bring us into executive session?
I go ahead and make a motion to go into executive session to discuss two items. That would be PSEA, labor negotiations, and Fairbanks Fire Department labor negotiations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, we'll go into executive session. We'll come back at 7:55.
Also met in executive session, discussed two items, of which we took no formal action.
Seeing as we're out of executive session, is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any objection? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Chief, do you have a moment?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Tidwell. Good night.
Good night. See you guys next week. Crystal.
Has left.